From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Thundering Blue in the center, tackled by Desert Encounter, and Desert Encounter ranges up. Desert Encounter on the outside and Thundering Blue, and Desert Encounter full of run. Desert Encounter, Andrea Zeds, and he's won it. Great performance.
Sitting on Go continues to close. There's one furlong left. Midnight Bourbon comes away with the lead. Sittin' on Go continues to close. Here comes Sittin' on Go, who's up for the lead at the 16th pole. Sittin' on Go up over Midnight Bourbon and Superstock. Sittin' on Go, 24-1.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Dothraki Queen snuck through toward the rail. Bold Quality is running after her, though. Here comes Bold Quality running after Dothraki Queen. Dothraki Queen, Bold Quality. Dothraki Queen up the inside to victory.
They have a furlong to run, and she has turned them away. And she is going to make this her own personal playground. Tippin going on to win the Rico Woodbine Mile.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and welcome to what is going to be another very busy edition of the show that launched a network, the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you right up until 11 a.m. Eastern, and happy to be with you in the saddle again this morning for the next 3 hours. Getting ready for 6 win and you're in races slated for this weekend, with only, in case you're wondering, 48 days, 9 hours, and 48 minutes until the Breeders' Cup World Championships return to Del Mar. Of course, we will be there as your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. You can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out a complete Breeders' Cup Week programming schedule. This weekend's races are a critical, critical stepping stone if you do have serious aspirations of finding yourself at Del Mar. Churchill plays host to the Iroquois, which is a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Division. The Pocahontas, a win and you're in for the Juvenile Fillies. Both of those races coming up later today. At Belmont, you have the Jockey Club Derby Invitational, which is a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Turf. And what a weekend at Woodbine. Not just today, but tomorrow too. Today is Rico Woodbine Mile Day. And the Woodbine Mile will see the winner punch their ticket to the Breeders' Cup Mile. Tomorrow, you have the Natalma, a win and you're in for the Juvenile Fillies Turf, and the Summer Stakes for the boys, which will see the winner move on to the Juvenile Turf, or at least have the opportunity to do so. It is also a huge day at Laurel with the Grade 3 DeFrancis Memorial Dash, the featured race on their 11 race card today. Great to be able to talk about Laurel with the big races too. And I'm going to do that later in the show with Dave Rodman, who is the voice of Maryland Racing. Really looking forward to that visit. And I'm going to spend plenty of time talking about all of those races I just mentioned as I move throughout the show this morning. The poll question ties into one of those. And with this show, of course, being presented by our friends at Woodbine Entertainment, let's focus on their big race later today, the Woodbine Mile. So who wins today's Rico Woodbine Mile at Woodbine? Give you a few choices here. Set Piece from the barn of Brad Cox. You have Raging Bull for Chad Brown. Ride a Comet, one of three horses scheduled to go for trainer Mark Cassie. And then the fourth category, as always, is Other. And if you do choose Other, if you think somebody else other than those three is going to win the race, just let me know who it is. Send a comment and let me know. Who wins today's Rico Woodbine Mile? Set Piece, Raging Bull, Ride a Comet, or someone else? You can choose that category too. Let me know at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And if you don't do social media, you can email me, mike@horseracingradio.net. That's another way to get in touch with the show. Let me know your thoughts on who wins today's Woodbine Mile. It's a fantastic race. And again, the winner on their way to the Breeders' Cup Mile. Well, outside of the racing that's taking place this weekend, there were big things happening in the industry behind the scenes, if you will. The future stars of the sport were going through the auction ring at Keeneland. Keeneland just concluded week one of their September yearling sale this past week. And through Thursday, 620 horses were sold, bringing a total of more than $200 million for an average of $323,256 and a median of $250,000. And as impressive as those numbers are, and it has been a very good sale. Well, unless, of course, you're a buyer with a bit more modest budget, then you're in the position of looking ahead to this week's offerings because week one was so good. It's kind of a double-edged sword. But as impressive as those numbers were this past week, I love the stories of the smaller operations who have been able to hit home runs this week. Rosalind Poland, who owns Sunday Morning Farm, located in Woodford County, Kentucky, for those of you who are not from the Bluegrass region. She's a fantastic story. Rosalind, who bred this year's Grade 3 Sanford winner and hopeful runner-up, Wit, sold the City of Light colt on Wednesday to Woodford Racing, Tala Racing, and Terry Finley's West Point Thoroughbreds. They paid $1.7 million for that City of Light colt. Massive score for a small operation. On Thursday, you had two yearling colts that both topped the $1 million mark. You had one by Into Mischief and one by Street Sense. The Into Mischief was consigned by Greg Goodman's Mount Brilliant Farm, and the Street Sense colt by Kip Nelman's Farfellow Farms. That's what this industry is all about. I've said it a million times on the show. I will say it again. It should be our mantra here on the show. But we have so many, I don't want to include another one. But this should be it. This should be the industry. This is a sport that is built on hopes and dreams. And for those smaller operations, those dreams, they came true. They were realized this past week. And when asked how she was going to celebrate her achievement, Rosalind Poland said, and I quote, "Clean stalls, turn out yearlings, clip ears, feed, go to bed early, get up, and ship my horses tomorrow to Keeneland. That's the best part of it, is that it keeps you real." That was her quote. You want to talk about summing up what this sport and this industry really is at its very core? That's it. That's it. We see the horses in the winner's circle after a big race. We see the owners there and the trainer and the groom and the breeders. We see people celebrating after these big races. But it has to start somewhere. And it starts with people like Rosalind Poland and people like Kip Nelman and Greg Goodman. There are so many smaller operations that are the backbone of what this sport is built upon. And to see them have that kind of success and to have all of that hard work that they put in and day out come to fruition, and for them to be rewarded is so fantastic. And I can't tell you how many times I have asked a trainer how they would celebrate a big win. Oftentimes the answer is, well, probably go grab some dinner and get to bed because I have to get up and do it all over again in the morning. That's what this sport's all about. And people, big operations, small operations, it doesn't matter. People in this game work their tail off. And to see that success rewarded is fantastic. Great stuff, and congratulations to everyone who was successful in week one at Keeneland. Very, very well done. Kip Elzer from Kirkwood Stables is going to be with me in a few minutes, right around 8:15 Eastern, to share his thoughts on that Keeneland sale. And he will also help me remember consigner Mike Riccio, who passed away on Thursday at the far too young age of 46 after a very lengthy battle with illness. He's been in the hospital for a long time, and Mike finally succumbed this past week. And I remember I first met Mike when he was working at Edina Springs years ago. And Mike was one of those people who immediately drew you to him, and he made you feel good when you were around him. He loved racing, and he loved his family, and he loved horses. And he loved them with all of his heart, and he is going to be missed by so many people in the sport. And Kip will help me remember Mike Riccio coming up here in just a few minutes. And my condolences to his entire family and everybody who, of course, was touched by Mike. He lived a wonderful life, and very sad to see him not with us anymore. All right, so Kip Elzer at 8:15. You have Dave Rodman, the voice of Maryland Racing, joining me right around 8:35 to 8:40, somewhere in that ballpark. He follows today's first bet, getting ready to bet the races. Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment, will be here at 9 o'clock. Unsung Heroes, presented by Claiborne. This is an Unsung Heroes week. Love those segments. That comes up at 9:20. 9:40, I go down the road to the Breeders' Cup with Darren Rogers, the Director of Communications at Churchill. I told you, two big win in your in races taking place there later today. 10 o'clock, I kick off hour number three, as we customarily do, with In the Room with Sean Clancy. He sits down for a one-on-one jockey-to-jockey conversation with Jack Gilligan. That's going to be fantastic. That's 10 o'clock Eastern. 10:25, Kurt Becker's Stroll Through Racing History, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. And at 10:30, week number two of I Ask, They Answer, our brand-new segment with two people never shy with an opinion. That's trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin. That's, again, 10:30 Eastern time. I Ask, They Answer, a variety of topics on tap for that segment today. We're going to talk about a lot of different things. Should be a fun debate with those two gentlemen coming up later in the show. All right, so that's what's ahead. I'll kick it all off next with Kip Elzer from Kirkwood. This is the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN.
Watch and wager on world-class racing from Woodbine Racetrack with Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday post times of 1:10 p.m. Eastern and a Friday post time of 4:50 p.m. Eastern. And on September 18th and 19th, you are not going to want to miss another big 2 days of racing with four Grade 1 races, including three Breeders' Cup Challenge winning your in races featuring the Woodbine Mile, Natalma, and Summer Stakes. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit woodbine.com. That's woodbine.com.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value, so generally it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at NicholsonInsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
The spring summer meet is just heating up at Gulfstream Park, with racing now through September 26th, Friday through Sunday. Look forward to the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes Series starting July 31st. And stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. For 10 Palms reservations, stake schedules, or tips and analysis, visit GulfstreamPark.com. We are now fully open for public viewing.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network. You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
850 where at 57, here we get million, 700,000 dollar. At 50, now 7, here we get million, 7 million, 7 million, 7 where at 50, here million, 750 now. A million, 750, here we get 50, we get trapped in million, 750 where at 50, 50, here we get what's saying now, man. Million, 7 is the bid. Million, 750, million, 700, one time. 50, here we get 50, waiting on you, Raj. The million, 7 is in the back. $1,750,000. Just a $1,750,000 here. You're able to get a last call. Great opportunity at $1,750,000. $1,750,000. Through and done. Thank you. Said no. $1,750,000 time. In the back. $1,700,000. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You know, I love listening to the auctioneers and all the bid spotters and the way everything coordinates when a horse is in the auction ring. And if you're selling a horse, you love listening to the bids go up and up and up. And when they hit $1 million, there's typically a roar from the crowd that's there in the pavilion. And when it gets to 1.5, 1.6, 1.7, and you're sitting there watching those numbers go up, it's got to be an amazing feeling. I have never sold a horse that sold for that much money. But boy, that had to be an amazing feeling for Rosalind Poland and her team watching that 1.7 million colt go through the ring on Wednesday at Keeneland. A colt by City of Light sold to Woodford Racing, Tala Racing, and West Point Thoroughbreds. Poland said afterwards that she always loved that colt, and she comes off of a tremendous year breeding Grade 3 Sanford winner and hopeful runner-up Wit. She sold him for $575,000. He turned out to be pretty darn good. 1.7, fantastic. That was one of the highlights of what was a stellar week one at the Keeneland September yearling sale. And to share his thoughts on where this yearling market might be after what we saw in week number one and what we saw at Saratoga with the Fasig Tipton sale just over a month ago is Kip Elzer from Kirkwood Stables. Kip is with me now. Kip, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you, my friend. 620 horses were sold in week one of that Keeneland sale. More than $200 million total and an average of $323,000, a median of $250,000. Really solid numbers for week number one.
Absolutely. I think so many people are just ready to put all the disruptions of the last couple of years behind them and go on about their business and have some fun, and just everybody's in a good mood, buying, selling, just looking forward to having really good racing down the road. That's what it's all about.
You know, I heard the same thing when I visited with Price Bell from Millridge on this same show right before the Saratoga sale, and he echoed your sentiments. He said, you know, everybody is just here. They're relieved to be back here. They're excited to put things behind them, and they're looking forward to the future. And it's showing in the sales results.
Absolutely. People just they're working hard, but everybody's got a smile on their face, whether you're buying or selling. And it's just good to have everything back on some sort of an even keel. We're not completely out of the woods yet. Keeneland and everybody are taking distancing and some masking precautions. But we are back to nearly normal business.
Kip, do you think it's kind of a case of you don't know what you got till it's gone, and then you get it back and you appreciate it even more?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We did not go to Saratoga last year for the first time in forever. And, you know, it puts a real hole in your life, not being able to do the normal things that we all enjoy so much.
Yeah, so true. So true. And it's great to see things back and see things going extremely well. We begin the next series, if you will, today at Keeneland. Yesterday was a dark day so that horses could be shipped out and more horses could be brought in. But when you look ahead to what's coming up over the next several days at this Keeneland sale, based on what you saw in week one, Kip, what are your thoughts moving forward?
I see the strength building. There's more people coming in that were, you know, possibly a little, I won't say intimidated, but really didn't think they could play at the levels of book one and book two. And they're coming in. The barns are looking at horses are much more crowded than they were in the early days. So I think we're looking at a strong and probably broader based market than we had the first few days.
As we were coming out of the first commercial break just a few moments ago, we heard the Keeneland Auctioneers and the bids going up to $1.7 million for a colt by City of Light. That was on Wednesday. Sold by Rosalind Poland's Sunday Morning Farm and sold to Woodford Racing, Tala Racing, and West Point Thoroughbreds. And, Kip, that's something we're seeing a lot of now. We're seeing a lot of bigger operations teaming up to buy a lot of these horses and partnerships, if you will, joining forces. Good or bad? It's changed the game a little bit, hasn't it?
Well, I mean, before we talk about that, what a remarkable accomplishment for Roz. 2 years in a row, she bred yep. Whit last year and sold him very well. You know, she's had two great years in a row, but she's worked a long darn time to get to those heights, and that's one of the great stories of this business, that a small family farm like Roz's and have the success she's had. It's just a wonderful story. Back to the partnerships teaming up at the top. You know, we're seeing this with the big, you know, call them conglomerates, if you will. They are big stallion making partnerships, and that's the goal. To try to put together these groups, buy these high-end colts, and hopefully get one or two that they can sell at the top end and make into stallions. It's a relatively new market plan. It definitely makes the top of the market very frothy, and possibly creates some opportunity underneath that for some other buyers that, you know, if rather than four colts being sold, one colt is being sold to a group of four, maybe there's a little bit of opportunity underneath those rarefied heights.
It certainly makes sense. Talking with Kip Elzer from Kirkwood Stables, that, you know, you're right, Kip. I mean, if you look at the math and you see three or four operations, syndicates, teaming up into a syndicate and buying a horse, it's one horse going to three or four different people as opposed to, you know, four horses and having them each buy their own individual horse. So have you seen any of that, or is it still too early or too new to determine if that's actually what's happening, that we're seeing some trickle down and opportunities for some folks that maybe wouldn't normally get a shot at a horse?
Yeah, I think, you know, anecdotally, I think you see it.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is selling under market by any means. But I think you see a few opportunities where something might just miss the big guys, whether it's a little bit of a pedigree or more particularly just a some sort of a slight vet blemish. I think you're seeing some opportunities there, and I think you're seeing some opportunities with fillies, which is, you know, where it seems to be that people are concentrating on colts and fillies under the top. I think there is a little value. We're just getting started now with the idea of creating a little filly pinhooking partnership. Just getting it started and starting to call around, look at some horses and call some people up, see if they want to want to participate. But I there are opportunities out there. It's just you've got to be watchful in any market and try to be zigging when everybody else is zagging.
Yeah, very, very well put. You know, and you mentioned, we talked about Rosalind Poland and her success, but how about Greg Goodman and Mount Brilliant Farm and Kip Nelman and Farfellow Farms, who both sold horses that went for $1 million and higher on Thursday's session, and that was just fantastic too.
It's great. They're family farms. Jack Nelman was at Calumet, went home to work with his dad on the family farm, and they hit a home run. You know, the good ones play hard at the top level as a family. It's just great to see those sort of operations rewarded.
So what's your plan, Kip, going forward for the next week or so? I know that you'll be out there looking at horses. You mentioned the Philly Pinhooking Partnership as a potential. You'll be looking at horses for people. It's a service that you offer through your Kirkwood Stables. What's your game plan going forward?
Well, we just put our heads down, keep walking, look at horses, find horses for either pinhooking or for clients that want to race. And, you know, you make your list and you cut the list down again and you call the list into the vets and they cut it down again. And then you make your appraisals and you walk into the ring and see what you can buy. You know, it's actually pretty simple, even though it is very difficult.
Well, I do have to tell you this. I know that you also offer a service where you have your farm in South Carolina, and it's a gorgeous training facility for horses. And you did one of the coolest things I've ever seen. You had a drone come in and fly over the farm, and I couldn't stop watching it. It's such a beautiful video. It's on the website now at kirkwoodstables.com. But where did that idea come from? That's so cool.
Actually, it came from a friend of mine, Robert Brooks, at home. And we were out watching some horses train, and he was playing with his new Christmas toy a couple of years ago, and he got it's a big open space, so if he made some mistakes piloting, there wasn't going to be any big disaster. And we got back afterwards, and you know, when you're looking at a place every day, you kind of get a little used to it. And I mean, I love training there. It's been great to me for years, and I appreciate all the different, you know, we've got turf courses, dirt tracks, up and down. We can do anything with a horse there. But once Robert and I got looking at the video, we really got an appreciation for the place as a whole and decided to put a little more formal video together and put it up on the website.
Well, it's fantastic. And again, kirkwoodstables.com is where you can view that video. How many acres do you have there, Kip?
There's 500 and some acres.
Wow.
It was gifted to the state by Mrs. Scott when she died to maintain the training center. So it's a place that could not be duplicated these days. We are truly blessed to have it available to us.
Yeah, I guess the fastest way to get around there is by drone, because not only do you have the two dirt tracks, but you have miles of turf gallops and breeze strips too, which, you know, that comes through when you watch the video. But I can imagine that, you know, trying to drive around would take you a little bit longer.
Yeah, the quick tour is not really too quick while you're driving around in the Jeep trying to show all the sights.
Well, Kip, listen, all the best going forward. Appreciate you looking back. Before I let you go, we do need to spend a minute here talking about a friend to both of us. That is Mike Riccio, who at the age of 46 lost a battle with a serious illness this past week. He passed away on Thursday. There have been so many wonderful things said about Mike on social media and in the press. And I met him when he was working at Adena Springs years ago. That's when I first was introduced to him. And I said earlier, he's a person that when you met him, you wanted to be around him. He was fun. He drew you in, and he made you feel good.
Well, it's just a terrible loss for all of us. I mean, Nancy and the Twins, is, you know, I mean, that's obviously the worst of it. But we've all lost a true character in the business. He was, I guess you'd almost say it, a Damon Runyon-like character. And you couldn't help, no matter what was going on, get a grin on your face whenever you were around Mike. And it's just a huge loss for all of us, but most particularly his family.
Yeah, and my condolences to his family and to everybody who was very, very close and was touched by Mike Riccio in his life. Kip, I was planning to make this interview, which, by the way, is brought to our listeners as our Industry Star of the Week segment presented by Stuart Morris. I was planning to name you the Industry Star of the Week, but I think in light of Mike's passing, I think it would be a beautiful thing to honor Mike as the Industry Star of the Week on this Saturday morning. So Mike Riccio is indeed our Industry Star of the Week, and this is an interview and a conversation brought to you by our good friend Stuart Morris. So rest in peace, Mike Riccio, and Kip Elzer, keep on, my man. All the best at the sale this week.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's great to be here, and like you say, we all miss Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it, Kip. Good luck this week.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
All right. Kip Elzer, Kirkwood Stables, fantastic stuff. Stuart Morris, yeah, he wants you to know, he does offer a boutique full-service bloodstock operation, and he wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows his success is because of you, and he's had a bunch of success. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the major sales, including this Keeneland September sale. I'm back with today's first bet and a conversation with Maryland announcer Dave Rodman after your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the wonderful folks at Lexus of Lexington.
This is the story of a thoroughbred who outdid his sire and then some in winning the Belmont Stakes, and in so doing wrapped up racing's Triple Crown in the same year the Boston Red Sox won the American League pennant with the likes of the Splendid Splinter and the Little Professor, Ted Williams, and Dominic DiMaggio, for those of you among the uninitiated. Even the most wary, hard-bitten skeptics of this particular thoroughbred had to finally admit that there was nothing in sight to give him a tussle after a relatively easy win in the Belmont Stakes to nail down the final leg of the Triple Crown, only the seventh horse in its revered history to have done so. The Belmont run on Saturday, June 1st of that year, removed the last obstacle to his complete domination of his age division. He won the 12-furlong affair with ease under a supremely confident ride by Warren Mertens, and if there were any doubts or shreds of excuse by his opponents, the arguability of them dissipated like an early morning fog in the glowing sun. This was some kind of racehorse indeed. You know, in racing, nothing surprises. The 3-year-old campaign of the horse nicknamed the Clubfoot Comet was indeed poignantly illustrative of that axiom. He had been accorded not the slightest consideration by the supposedly in-the-knowers in regard to his chances in the Derby. But he cantered off to a virtually uncontested 8-length score in an eye-popping performance. 1 week later, he'd overcome some bad racing luck and some questionable handling as well, and coming home a winner in a run for the Black-Eyed Susans, the Preakness, by a bare neck. The surprising thing was that his performance in the latter event had been so singularly unimpressive to many, he was regarded only moderately at best as a candidate to culminate his campaign by winning the Belmont. Well, all he did was dispel any last vestiges of dubiousness by racing to a victory that, in its own way, was even more decisive than his Derby score. Old-timers and youthful aficionados alike now realized, sit up and take notice time for this horse. If this great thoroughbred had any shortcoming, it was that aesthetically he was nondescript at best. Many often said the best thing about him was the caliber of his competition. That was as blatantly demeaning as tell a young lady she has as much class as a telephone pole. He never looked pretty. He was blue-collar, lunch-pail, punch-the-clock type, who knew what he had to do, and he did it. He wasn't the object of adulation and excitement because of his appearance. No, indeed. That came as a result of his ability to do what he was born to do, run. And run he could. Oh, yes, his competitors were not noteworthy, to be sure. not because they actually were, but rather because he made them look that way by his ability. His sire, Bull Venture, bowed a tendon after the Preakness and could not win the final leg of the Triple Crown, although he was as game as a thoroughbred could be. This horse, with a slight disfigurement in one of his forelegs, had no trouble, other than the aforementioned problems in the Preakness, and nailing down each of racing's jewels of the Triple Crown. His sire, Bull Venture, had won a marvelous Derby in closing from 11th place to whip Brevity, and then had barely outlasted Granville to win the Preakness. Although there may not have been any Brevities or Granvilles to challenge our subject for this piece, there can be absolutely no denying he outdid his illustrious sire and joined Sir Barton, Gallon Fox, Omaha, War Admiral, Whirlaway, and Count Fleet as members of a very select company, Triple Crown winners. That marvelous thoroughbred who went on to become an outstanding handicap horse was none other than Assault, affectionately named the Clubfoot Comet.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and innovative technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience driving any Lexus model is unparalleled. Visit Lexus of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for over 15 years. Experience the enjoyment of Lexus and the enjoyment of shopping Lexus of Lexington. The people there truly make the difference. Long-tenured, friendly, knowledgeable team members, no pressure, no hassle. I promise, it's not your typical dealership experience. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, and Lexus of Lexington continues to sponsor Keeneland's Raven Run Stakes each fall. So from one horse person to another, the next best thing to being around horses is driving a Lexus. Visit Lexus of Lexington and tell them Mike sent you.
The spring summer meet is just heating up at Gulfstream Park, with racing now through September 26th, Friday through Sunday. Look forward to the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes Series starting July 31st. And stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. For 10 Palms reservations, stake schedules, or tips and analysis, visit GulfstreamPark.com. We are now fully open for public viewing.
The test of time. There is no better example than Millridge Farm. Founded in 1962 by Alice Chandler, this year's inductee into the Hall of Fame as a pillar of the turf, Millridge has raised or sold 36 Grade 1 winners, including 8 Breeders' Cup winners and 2 Horses of the Year since 2000. This Keeneland September sale, Millridge offers a quality group throughout the various books, led by leading stallions Uncle Mo, Curlin, Candy Ride, Gunrunner, Kitten's Joy, and several promising first-year sires. Millridge will be showing at Barn 11 starting September 10th. Millridge, standing the test of time.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Switzerland trying to get away from Colonel Sharp right now. The man punching forward three wide in third. Lewis Field is out wide. Then Lakite out of the inside and Always Sunshine as they straighten in the half in 45.72. Into the stretch now, and it's Switzerland and Fergal Lynch driving, opening up 5 lengths. It's wide open for second. The man on the outside and Lakite down to the inside. Lakite's running a big one, trying to chase Switzerland down, but Switzerland much too much for them in the Frank J. DeFrancis Memorial Dash. Switzerland to win by 3. Lakai was second, and then it was Sweet on the Ladies from far back, and then Colonel Sharp, followed by Lewis Field. In a minute, 9.11.
Switzerland, anything but neutral in that victory in 2018 in the DeFrancis Dash. Trained by Steve Asmussen, ridden by Fergal Lynch. That is the team that will be back in action later today in the DeFrancis Memorial as Asmussen looks for another win in there along with Fergal Lynch. You're going to hear from track announcer Dave Rodman. Well, you just heard him with the call there, but you're going to hear more from him coming up in just a moment as he walks you through this year's edition of the DeFrancis Memorial, and he also will take a look at the rest of that program today, and it's a good one up at Laurel. But first now, Time now to get you to your first bet, which is brought to you every single Saturday at this time by our friends at First Bet. It is time for today's first bet.
And now,
today's first bet.
Today's first bet comes in race 6 at Laurel, the $100,000 Twix Stakes at 3:20 p.m. Eastern. It is number 7, Dream a Little Dream of You, who is 2-1 on the morning line, has a 31% win projection from first bet, rates 14 points higher than the next closest competitor, ranks number 1 in 12 key first bet factors for this race. That's most in the field. Was runner-up in the Allaire DuPont on Black Eyed Susan Day, and trainer Brad Cox has 6 stakes wins in Maryland since 2019. And jockey Hevion Toledo is picking up A mounts for the injured Sheldon Russell. It's number 7, Dream a Little Dream of You, in race 6 at Laurel, who is today's first bet. And I'm back to visit with the voice of Laurel Park, Dave Rodman, in 60 seconds right after this word from First Bet.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number 1, st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races. Up to 18 years or older and 21 years older in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Well, yeah, it is a big day at Laurel, and it's great to be talking about the races with Dave Rodman, who is the voice of Maryland Racing. He has done that for so many years now and done it at such a high level, and we'll welcome Dave to the program momentarily. Don't forget, you can weigh in on today's poll question at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and if you don't do social media, that's cool. Just email me, mike@horseracingradio.net. And asking you today, who wins the Rico Woodbine Mile up at Woodbine? That race is the feature race on the program today, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Mile division. You have 4 choices: Set Piece, Raging Bull, Ride a Comet, who are expected to be the 3 favorites, and then Other. And if you choose Other and pick somebody else other than those 3, specify and let me know who it is. So far, Set Piece is in the lead with 46% of the votes coming in. A couple folks choosing the other category, Space Traveler and Olympic Runner, both getting some respect there. So keep the votes coming. I will update them as we move throughout the program here. You heard the call of Switzerland winning the DeFrancis Memorial Dash in 2018. That was Dave Rodman with the call. Steve Asmussen, the trainer, Fergal Lynch, the jockey. They are teaming up again with Jalen Journey in today's edition. 6 furlongs on the main track, a short field of 6, but an evenly matched field. And to tell you more about it is indeed Dave Rodman, the voice of Maryland Racing. Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mike. It's been a while. Haven't talked to you in a long time, but it's great to be on the show.
I have to tell you, my friend, one thing I always enjoyed about broadcasting the Preakness at Pimlico was the visits we would have after the race. You would come down from the booth, from your booth, yep, to our broadcast booth, and you would spend time reflecting on what we just saw after the Preakness. And it was some of the most insightful conversations that I've had on the network in many, many years, and I miss those. I really do.
Yep, sure do. You've got a great view up there. You're right near my booth, and we're in our own little world up there, right? I mean, it's the greatest view at Pimlico, I think, for the Preakness.
What was the very first year that you started calling races in Maryland?
In Maryland, 1991. So my first Preakness was Hansel in 91.
Wow, and same for Laurel, I guess, 91?
Yeah, 91, started here in 1991. So looking back in history, I mean, I think I didn't call that first DeFrancis, Frank J. DeFrancis Dash, but I did call the second and every one, obviously, since then. So it's been quite a history and quite a ride.
Let's dive into that history for a minute, Dave, and then we'll talk about this year's renewal. You see names like Housebuster and Cherokee Run and Light the Fuse and Smoke Lacken and Richter Scale, and the list goes on. Thor's Echo. There have been some amazing sprinters to come through this particular race and add it to their resume. Talk about that history a little bit and why this race has been so special.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been kind of a early in its early years, kind of a stepping stone to bigger things for many, many horses. I mean, one of my favorites, I think, would be Light the Fuse. The great horses back when it was a grade one race. And of course, the race was taken off the schedule for a while, and we regained the graded status with it. We're trying to move it back on up the graded scale right now. Richter scale, Richard Migliore still talks about about the track record time that he set. And looking at the track records here at Laurel Park, I don't know if anybody will ever really eclipse that 107.95. So he won that race in 2000. In a minute 7.95, horses have come close to that, but never really matched it and obviously broken that record. So, there's some great horses and great times. And, even though it's a small field this year, I think a really good handicapping race, this year, pace wise.
Yeah, I called it a well-balanced field, and I think it is. I think you could make a case for several runners in here. There will be some that take more money than others, obviously, but this is a well-balanced group. Share your thoughts. You mentioned the pace scenario. Share your thoughts on how that might play out.
Well, I think a lot of people are going to count on Wonder Where Craig Is to try to make the lead in here, and he's pretty quick. But the up-and-coming horse down at the inside there, Kalu, who's won three straight in the Sweezy Barn, though a former claimer, is pretty quick in and of himself. So I think those are the two that will go out to the lead. I Wonder Where Craig is a very, very nice gelding. He's 2-for-2 at Laurel Park. And looking back in his biggest figure races, he's kind of beaten fields where he's really not been tested in that opening quarter, opening 3/8 of a mile. And today I think maybe a different scenario. So perhaps kind of searching somewhere else for a horse just off the pace. And I think it kind of leads me to Jalen Journey, who Keith Fustel, our morning line maker, is lined at 7-5 as the favorite in the race with a good kind of mid-turn, upper stretch burst of speed like he had at Saratoga. That horse, yeah, that was 6.5, 6.5. His last two races, he's won at 7, and today 3/4 of a mile. So he has probably a lot less time to put the kick in, so to speak. But I think he's the horse in the race, though you may not get the price you desire.
Yeah, it would be nice if maybe Jalen Journey brought stronger connections on the training side, though, huh?
Yeah, right. He must be, and he knows how to win. I mean, speaking of, if you're looking for a long shot, how about my man Urias St. Louis, right? He's never, never afraid to dance the dance, right? The discreet
so
lover, the Jockey Club Gold Cup at 49-1, informative, and the Salvatore Mile at 79-1. He's obviously hoping for a quick pace up front in the race today, a very quick pace. Because that's kind of his style. He was second behind Wonder Where Craig Is when Wonder Where Craig Is was kind of the lone lick in that race against the field of five others back July in that optional allowance claimer. But let's hope for a good run there from War Toxin or the Urias St. Louis.
It's so funny, Dave. I didn't mean to interrupt. Well, I guess I did mean to interrupt
that's
you.
Right.
It's so funny that you would bring that up because we saw War Toxin in the Russell Road at Charlestown last time out, and that was part of our coverage of the Charlestown Classic that night. And I remember I was sitting there with Bobby Newman, who was our analyst on the broadcast, and we were talking about Urias St. Louis taking his shots. And that was in a $150,000 non-graded stake. What's he do? He finishes ninth there. He steps him up into a grade three now, so he is not afraid to take a shot.
Yeah, well, he's never run at Laurel before. You got that angle, right? You got to take a shot. I mean, he's won at Parks a couple of times, and that which he's based obviously out of Parks, and so you would expect him to run well up there. But, you know, no, he's never afraid to take a shot in the race. Local connections in the race, I mean, I think, you know, I always have a deep-rooting interest for trainer Damon Della DeVico. He won this race in 2020 last year in against Eastern Bay and Nitrous, giving him a graded stakes win there in the DeFrancis Dash. And he's the kind of horse who's knocking on the door against tough company, Mucho, Yopon, and the like. He always runs his race. He seems to get a check every time. If he gets really lucky today and he comes back to his best race, of course, last year in the Dash, second to Yopon and the Light the Fuse at Pimlico back in the 4th of July, I mean, he can get a share, and with a great trip, he can win back-to-back dashes at the age of 8. And Della DeVico's won this race before with Immortalize back a few years ago. Hard-working barn here at Laurel Park. His whole family's involved, his sons. They get up early in the morning, and you'll find the Della DeVico's, again, that work in the afternoon in the TV department. his son, Damon, and of course, Damon himself.
Oh, wow.
Working in our TV department. So they put in, when you're talking about putting in the hours, they do it from morning to noon to night at the racetrack.
Love to see those people have success. Visiting
right.
The voice of Maryland Racing, Dave Rodman, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Race number 8 is the DeFrancis Memorial Dash. It is race 8 of 11 on that Saturday program, 4:23 Eastern, the post. That's, of course, 1:23 Pacific. Dave, outside of the DeFrancis, there are some other great stakes races on the program today, competitive stakes races.
Yes,
what else are you looking
forward
to?
You're right, absolutely. The Dash is a great race. All the races today are part of the Match Series, Mid-Atlantic Thoroughbred Championship Series of races where the trainers are competing for points and bonuses. We got the Twixt in the 6th race, which is a one-turn mile here. And it was just before you called, I was looking at the replay of So Darn Hard. Money Mike Smith coming to town for mounts today. This one for George Weaver, and I think this is maybe his best shot to hit the winner's circle. Love that race at Belmont, that allowance race, and he came back to run third on a good track going 9 furlongs at Saratoga. But kind of this one-turn mile, I think, is really going to suit her. She seems like a filly, this Ghost Zapper filly, that can sit wherever Mike Smith wants her to be. You can't be too far back at this one-turn mile. They do have a long run of the second wire, more than a quarter mile. It's a second wire finish. But in her victory late June at Belmont, she was down inside, just waited, then angled out, and edged away with very little coaxing from the furlong and a half marker down to the finish. So Mike Smith in town, and I think that's his best shot. We've got the obviously, the Dash, the Polynesian Stakes. Looking for a bit of an upset in here. A lot of attention is going to go to Roadster, who's had a series of the foot issues well-documented now in the Mike Stidham barn. But a horse who loves Laurel, who loves the mile, he's won 4 of 9 at the mile, a 10 for 30 lifetime, who's coming around again in Cal Lynch's barn is Always Mining. You remember him from the Triple Crown Trail, and he was kind of the buzz horse here in Maryland, the Maryland bred by Stay Thirsty, Always Mining. And it's sneaky good races on the turf, especially his last. He was in and out, came running again, and he loves that long run of the one-turn mile second line here with Charlie Marquez aboard, the hot hand leading rider at Pimlico.
Oh, what a day it is. Mike Smith, Steve Asmussen, Dave Rodman, the stars are out at Laurel later today, and we can't wait to hear Dave's calls. Dave, listen, man, I really appreciate the visit this morning. It's been so much fun to catch up, and you're fantastic. Keep up the wonderful work up there.
Thanks for having me on the show, and good luck to everybody in the place today.
All right, appreciate it. Dave Rodman here on HRRN. So much energy, so much passion for the sport, and you hear it in his calls. It comes through in each and every call. All right, I'll step away for another break. When I come back, I'll get you ready for hour number 2, which begins with my conversation with Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson. That is just moments away. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Gainesway Stallion Taprit. A $1.2 million yearling at Saratoga, Taprit's victories include the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes.
And they're into the stretch. Irish War Cry turns for home with Taprit trying to run him down in the last furlong. The two of them are now a half length apart. They are clear of Gormley and Patch. It is Irish War Cry. And on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
In his first 2 years at stud, Taprit has bred over 240 mares. Now his first weanlings have arrived, selling for up to $100,000. One of the best bred sons of Sire of Sires, Taprit, to ever enter stud. Classic winner and stakes record setter, Taprit, standing at Gainesway.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to TakeAHealthyStand.org.
Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is the Briznet.com call-in show. It's your chance to call in and let the Horse Racing Radio Nation know what's on your mind. Call us at 888-966-HRRN and discuss the topics you choose in the world of thoroughbred racing. The Briznet.com call-in show, every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219 and XM 201, or streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
World Approval, tackled by Deauville Lucetta. Conquest Panthera, the outside. Finishing is Bondi Elise, right down the outside from the back. Lancaster Bomber is there, but it is World Approval who slips away. World Approval in front, right down the outside. Finishing on is Bondi Elise and Lancaster Bomber. But World Approval wins the Rico Woodbine Mile by almost 3 lengths. Second placing has gone in the center to Lancaster Bomber. And in behind them, we had out wide Mondial East and Long On Valley running on. And back in the center was a rod. Conquest Panthera weekend with Dutch Connection.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on this Saturday morning. Robert Geller with the call of the 2017 Rico Woodbine Mile, won by World Approval under Hall of Famer John Velasquez for dual Hall of Fame trainer Mark Cassie. The second win in a row for Mark, as he won it in 2016 with Tepin. He is back in today's race with three chances to pull off a bit of a upset, if you will. And that is our poll question this morning, asking you who you think is going to win this year's edition of the Woodbine Mile. That card up there today is fantastic, too. And I'm going to talk to Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine, coming up in just a couple of minutes. But the entire program is incredible. Who wins today's Rico Woodbine Mile? Set Piece, Raging Bull, Ride a Comet, or Other? And if you do choose Other in here and you think somebody else is going to win, other than those three choices, let me know who you feel it's going to be. And right now, Set Piece from the barn of Brad Cox getting all the respect in this poll. 45% of HRN Nation saying, yep, Set Piece is going to do it. He's probably going to be the favorite in here. And at least he will vie for favoritism with Raging Bull. But it's a really good renewal of the Woodbine Mile. Don't forget that if you are going to be, if you live in Kentucky or you're going to be in Kentucky and you're a sportsman, you'll want to stop by the Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore in Nicholasville, Kentucky. And every week I get to tell you about my passions, and I have a couple of passions. I have horse racing. I have the outdoors and hunting and fishing. And I have the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, I have three passions. And when I'm not at the racetrack or I'm not on the radio, it's a pretty solid bet that I'm in the woods somewhere or I'm at Heinz Field or watching a Steeler game. Now, if you stop by Whitetail Heaven Outfitters, I promise you they're going to have everything you need for hunting, fishing, whether it's deer, turkey, ducks, doesn't matter. Owned by former horse trainer Tevis McCauley, the Elite Outdoor Superstore really does have something for everybody, even two indoor archery ranges. So stop in and see them today. It is the Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore, just 3 miles south of the Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road. All right, hour two begins momentarily with Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson. Our Unsung Heroes segment presented by Claiborne is, I think you're really going to enjoy this week's edition. That comes up at 9:20. And at 9:40, I go down the road to the Breeders' Cup with Darren Rogers, the Director of Communications at Churchill Downs. That's all ahead right after I pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.